Today's topic is always be my dad. It's about Father's Day celebration. I want to say this with a lot of humbleness in my heart, because the more you become a father, the more you realize that there's more mistakes you make. So if I'm standing here talking about father, that means I make the most mistakes as a father, so that I can share that with you all, the things that I learned. One of my best moments that I remember as a father is going to the maternity checkup every month. I make sure I plan it in such a way I can join. That's one of my biggest joys. So I have to drive to that place 6 a.m., then get the number, come back, fetch my wife to go for the medical checkup every month. So, and I did that for all three children. I have three children. And every time I go, I will bring the children along. So with the first child, of course, with my wife only. With the second child, I bring the older son along. With my third child, I'll bring the other two along. So to get them wake up, put them in the car and go along. So that's what we did. We go to a mama restaurant for breakfast, then straight go in. So I enjoy this moment. On the other part, God has been gracious. On the other part, I also miss certain part as a father. I miss my older son when he learned to cycle. I miss that. I still remember all those because I miss that. So some moment in your life, you have hit and some misses. So as a father, many times, this is what our life is all about. We got hit and we got misses, and we might not be able to achieve whatever we felt we can do because we are not perfect. So a couple of verses. One is 1 John 3:1. If you sing that song, Chris Tomlin, Good, Good Father, Great Love of a Father. I believe maybe it's from this verse because the verse is nearly the same. The second verse I want to talk about is Malachi 4:6. It's about turning the hearts of the father to the children and children's hearts to the father. This is the last verse in the Old Testament, and there's a 400 years gap before the New Testament. So the importance of father in a child's life. Anyone can father a child, but being a dad takes a lifetime. How many of you all know that it's not easy being a dad? It takes a lifetime. So sorry to your father or mother here. Once you become a dad, it's a lifetime. You cannot say, can I take a pause? You can't, right? And being a dad is so important. I can't emphasize this enough, because a recent survey showed that in adult they have done something wrong, they went to the jail. If they have engagement outside with someone that they love, between the parents, 98% of those convicts that actually have engagement with parents, 98% are with mothers. Only 2% have ever contacted their fathers. This shows a big gap in terms of percentage of what the father have not done. The role of father is so important, but the father have not done what is needed to reach out to their children. And there's another statistic, 63% of children are more likely to run away from home for boys that's without father. And 37% for the boys are more likely to use drugs if the father is not around. And for boys and girls, if the father is not involved, their toys are likely to drop out of school, their toys are likely to go to jail, and 4 times more will have problem with behavioral and also emotional problems. So this is some of the statistics just to show you a father's role is very important. It's not just everything passed to the mom. Take note of that. And the challenge for fathers in this new world is this. In the olden days, even my father's time, what he do is he just work, he bring the salary back, and that's it, right? Except for the caning. Everything, we grow up on our own in that context. There's no one-to-one conversation or what. Right now, we have a lot more ways of doing parenting. And because of that modern world, there's a lot of other influences that we have on how a father should look like and how parenting need to look like. So one of the key word here, first word, is the fear of our children. I think nowadays, if some of you all will already notice in the house, sometimes it's not the father, it's the king, or the father and mother actually fear the children, because the one that is in charge is the children and not the parents. So sometimes everything that pleases our children or the father and run to it and try to give something to the children. So that is also a challenge of sometimes the world have shifted to fear of the children. The second one is the lowering of standards. Standards has been dropped in the way that parents no longer set high standards. We are allowing our children to do what they want, especially in places like grocery store and whatsoever. The parents will allow the children to do whatever they want, and also in the shopping mall when they buy toys. Because if, let's say, the parents didn't show whatever is need to be done, the standard, then they're actually allowing the children to take control. And that actually is lowering the standard because they didn't even believe in setting a standard for the children. The loss of community and village. This is something different in the olden days. If I make any mistake, my father used to be a disciplinarian and he was an ex-policeman. He not only disciplined me and my brother, sister, but he also disciplined the police. His job is training all the young police, whatever. So he's those who discipline people. Scary for me when I grew up, because my father set standards very high. When I grew up in those environments, if I go out and play, I mischievous, go into the drain, you know, to catch fish and whatever, or climb certain trees. Somehow, lo and behold, the news will go to my father and my mother. That time, you don't have a smartphone, no WhatsApp text, nothing. But the news will travel. And my parents are really happy because they know a lot of things about my brother and I. We're always quite naughty. We run around and do a lot of things. So we go back and we get disciplined. We lost those. If you are in church, please stay in the church where you bring your children up, because you have uncle, auntie, so-called, in the church that watch out for you at the same time. Don't lose that community. But I think in this society now, people lose the community of bringing up children. So that is very important. Because in a community, sometimes it helps us, the community that you trust, so that you trust people will help you. And if you see a father in a mall or somewhere or in the church trying to help the children, set the standard for the children, please cheer them on. Don't say, good job, I know it's tough setting standard. Do that. Help the parents in this church or even in anywhere you meet them, cheer them on. The invasion of shortcuts. So shortcuts is something that is happening a lot nowadays. Instant gratification, instant way of appeasing our children, that is happening. I used to ask a friend, why is he every time using the tablets to pass to the children? What he told me is that one time when he was on a plane, he's thinking of not to disturb people on the plane, he passed the tablet and whatever. He said, that helps. I said, well, that's very noble, that's good. But I said, that is good during that moment, but not every moment. So I thought, that is shortcut parenting. That will actually teach your children not to be patient and everything instant gratification. So that's a bit of the challenge also of a father. And the last one is prioritization of children over adults. I tell people a lot of this story when I was working in China for a season, about half a year. What I realized is this. I told the people in China, my colleague, all of them, I said, you eliminate the emperor of China in 1911, one emperor. But with the one-child policy, you created millions of emperor. You don't realize that because I told them, one child with six adults, two parents, two set of grandparents, and that one child can get anything they want, very selfish. So if you are prioritizing children over adults in whatever you all do, the challenge for a parent is you are raising selfish child. And when you raise selfish children, the world actually don't revolve around them when they go big. So the whole world don't move around them. They need to learn not to be selfish. So think about that. Yeah? You bring up children, make sure they follow your schedule and not their schedule. Everything is about them. It's not. Okay? So this is a challenge that fathers are having. With all this, I want to introduce a term to you called Father God. Matthew 6:9, our Father's in heaven, hallowed be your name, is what Jesus introduced to us when we pray. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And the same in John 1:12 say, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And God is perfect Father who loves you with perfect love. This is talking about how we, from non-believer to believer, God so-called legally moves us. It's a concept of adoption in Christianity, that moving from unbeliever to believer, that you can call God the Father God. And with that, actually, we have the right to receive whatever bestowed upon us by Father God. So it's very important because we can claim the love and the perfect love that Father God has given to us. I'm going to share quickly some of the words that came out, I highlighted on attributes of Father God. Loving Father God, kind Father God, compassionate and giving, faithful, merciful, strong, forgiving, good, righteous, caring, sovereign, shepherd, ever-present, refuge, gracious, healer, powerful, savior and helper, renewer. So all these are key words that I've looked at when you talk about the attributes of Father God. But as a father on earth, it's difficult for us to follow exactly what Father God do. So with that, actually, I really want to share with you what one of the popular authors say, Pastor Lex Lucado, talking about Father God and how the love Father God is. And Max Lucado actually talked about how God's feeling and showing his love to us. Fridge magnet is something I like. I got two fridge. Both of my fridge are all filled with magnets. Normally, I don't buy much thing when I travel. The only thing I buy is fridge magnet. But people that always like to have fridge magnet is my ex-colleague. They always ask me, boss, please help me to buy fridge magnet. And one of my job is traveling sometimes to buy fridge magnet for them. They like fridge magnet because they like to collect and because they like to see countries and all those they like. People that appreciate fridge magnet, they really like to look at it. They enjoy, they appreciate. Whatever they do, they go and get water, they look at it. They cook, they look at it. Everything, they look at it, right? If God got a fridge and want to put a fridge magnet, it will be the picture of you. So that God can look at it. Anytime you want to get water, right, to drink from the fridge. If God got a wallet, you open up, you will have your photo in it. The same way I have my photo, my wife, my children. And if you are a lady, God will send you flowers every springtime. Or any time that there's a special occasion, God will send you flowers. I do send flowers to my wife still. I send flowers to my daughter once in a while. You know, God is that way. God loves you. If you're a lady, you like flowers, God will send flowers to you. And the most important thing is this. God can choose to be anywhere in the world at any time, any place. But God choose to be in your heart because God loves you so much. That's how Father God is, His attribute of loving you all. Fathers, our children do not need a perfect father because we can't be, but a father that will always be there. And this is an appeal to the father because to be always with the children, always be there, is very difficult, right? We are not omnipresent, we are not everywhere. But the best thing to do is to appeal to their hearts. So we need to communicate with their hearts. So this is heart of parenting. And one of the things that we can do is we need to continue to love them, forgive them whatever is happening, cheer them, provide for them, protect for them. Regardless whether they're doing well, you cheer them. Whether they make mistakes, we need to cheer them because all of us need someone to cheer us. So that's the role of a father. Abraham Lincoln once said, I have often been driven to my knees by the conviction that there was no other place to go. Fathers, being the head of the family, at times they will be driven to their knees because there's no other place to go. So pray. That's one of the biggest advice I can give to father. Not every time you got answers, so pray. I myself pray for my children, yeah. So that is what I will do if sometimes I don't know what to do. As father, you don't have all the solution. But the best thing to do is whenever you come to that place, pray. We are not perfect fathers, but we can be fathers that reach out to our children's hearts and walk with their hearts for the rest of their life. So the way to be always be there as a dad for them is to walk with their heart. If you once walk with their heart, then you can always be there for them. I want to share a bit about Pastor Steve Murrow. There's three things I remember vividly of listening to Pastor Steve Murrow talking about heart of parenting. The first one is talking about how the heart of God in parenting through the heart of the parents and heart of the child. So one of the key things is for us to know is to making sure that the love of a Father God be translated into the child so that the child know that God loves them. And to do that, actually, our parents' heart needs to bridge that gap and make sure that they understand the heart of God. So that when they understand the heart of God, that will allow them to know how much God loves them and reflect through the parents' heart. The second thoughts I have on parenting. Parenting is never fair. The parents will always give more than the children. And the children will not understand it. Key thing is you need to realize that that's not a fair exchange once you become father or mother. You need to love them and forgive them continuously. And the third part is shaping and protecting the heart of your children. That the response and discipline that appeal to their heart and not so much on the behavior alone. We need more concern about what they do to their heart. When you have children 7 years old and below, it's very important to set boundaries. But as they grow older, we need to help to work with them because the external boundary need to move towards the internal boundary in their hearts. Because after that, wherever they go, you can't be with them. They can go to any countries for studies or for working or anything, you don't know. But if you establish in their hearts, that will help them. I would like to share a journey of fatherhood. One of my sons get into trouble in the school. And I think it's during assembly time, he make a lot of noise or something that he do mischievous that the teacher want to punish him. So the principal called me and said, I need to talk to you, Mr. Ng. I said, yes. He said, your son has misbehaved during assembly. We're going to punish him by washing the toilet and have to stay back after school. So you cannot take him back immediately. The principal was talking very cautiously. So there's three ways I can respond. The first way I can respond is, what proof do you have that my son is the only one that caused the problem? Maybe the other friend that caused him to have that issue, right? The second response is, I'll call the transport and say, okay, you come back 2 hours later, 1 hour later after you finish and fetch him home. That's another second response. So which response do you think I choose? I didn't choose either one of them. I have my own response. I said, can I request for something? He said, what is the request? The teacher thought I'm going to school or what, I'm not sure. But I just said, can I request that I come to wash the toilet together with my son? Then the principal was a bit shocked. Don't know what to respond. because this is a crazy father that asked for that thing. So for me, it's not so much whether whatever response I have. For me, it's I'm thinking for my son. My heart is, how can I work with my son? Because I feel as much responsible for what he has done. So for me, it's walking his heart. I'm more worried about how his heart is, how he's growing up to be, right? With that, actually, the teacher don't know how to respond to me, frankly. And I can't recall what is the response. I know after that, he told me, don't have to come. The punishment didn't go through or something like that, right? So actually, the whole idea is not to get my son out from punishment. And the aim is how I can reach out to my son's heart. That's how God is, right? We make so many mistakes in life, and God wants to be there for us. That's how God is. You know, in our life, we are a lot of time like Rick. We are handicapped. It's not about physical, it's about spiritual handicap. But Father God is always there for us. As a father, our heart needs to be always be there for our children. So I just want to encourage, appeal to everyone here, have a heart that's reaching out to the children and always be the father there for them through their heart. If you have a father in your house, be there to love your father, reach out to your father through your heart also. If you have a father that do not know God, reach out to them. Same way, if you're a father, you need to reach out to your children through your heart.